to Psalm 28. Psalm 28. Or Psalm 128. Psalm 128. I've been considering for about the last month a number of psalms that I've together as a congregation. If you were among us, you know that. But originally I intended to specifically focus on Psalms 127 and 28. So a few weeks ago we heard God's word with regard to Psalm 127, and I pointed out to you then that these are really companion psalms. They go together. So we have to come back to Psalm 128 because we couldn't just consider 127 and leave it at that. So this morning, let's listen together to Psalm 128, and this will be the text for our sermon today. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. May God bless the reading of His word and His consideration of it together today. My brothers and sisters in Christ, Psalm 127, Psalm 128 are what are called Psalms of Ascent. They were meditated on, sung, read, as the pilgrims, the travelers from all around Israel would come up to the three great feasts every year to Jerusalem. They had to come up to Jerusalem, to the feast of the temple in Jerusalem, to these feasts, and they would worship God there. And as they're going, Solomon is in Psalm 127 and 128. He's giving them a bit of a pilgrim's guide to thinking about some very important aspects of life that they need to meditate on, to think about, to understand. So these are wisdom psalms, Psalm 127 and 28 are. They're written by Solomon. And they are wisdom psalms. They lead you to recognize and meditate on some of the great truths of the Lord that we will, having thought about them, having understood them, through these truths, we will begin to better know God and praise Him. Psalm 127 had a particular focus on this idea. What is your ultimate security in life? What is your ultimate security in this world? What is your ultimate security for the world to come? And we are led by means of the psalmist through those thoughts. Well, in Psalm 128, Solomon teaches us and leads us to reflect on what is the source of true blessedness. That's really the focus. What is the source? What is true blessedness? In fact, he wants to push us a little deeper than just simply that idea. Solomon wants us to understand what a truly blessed or a truly happy life is. And so, really, we could ask the question, before we look at this psalm and look at its details, we can ask this question. Do you, sitting here today as you read the Word of God, do you really understand what a truly happy or blessed life is? Do you understand that? Do you get that? Do you grasp that? Do you know that? See, the word blessing is the unifying word of this psalm. It holds together like a thread. It holds together this psalm, that word blessed. And we are to reflect on the God-centeredness of life, the blessedness of life that God grants us by His grace. We're to reflect on it. We're to think about that. We're to understand, meditate on that. And then, having been, so to speak, renewed in that mindset, we are called to join together as God's people on the Lord's days. We gather here And we are to worship this Lord that the psalm talks about, Yahweh, Jehovah, this Lord is the God we come together. And He's the one from whom all these blessings flow, and recognize that we come and worship Him, we praise Him. All glory belongs to Him for everything. He's given us life in Himself. He's given us life in Jesus Christ. He's given us the blessedness of life in Jesus Christ. And in His ways, He's saying, our happiness. Here's where happiness is, in my ways. Our future glory in heaven that awaits us. Our hope of our faith. That's secure in Jesus Christ. He's purchased us for that future hope and glory. And we have it. It's our possession. In this blessedness we stand. So in our worship, we rejoice in this God. We rejoice in His blessings. That's what the psalmist wants to drive home to us. So first of all, verse 1, it says, blessed is, this is how the psalm starts in considering blessedness. It says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who fears this God, Jehovah. He's the God of the covenant. Now, when you read the Bible, you have to understand that the God, Jehovah, entered into a relationship with a special people, His own special people. Loved from before the foundations of the world, the Bible tells us, this God came to His people. He came to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and He made promises to them, and He says, He bound Himself to these people. He says, I'm your God. Think about the God who made heaven and earth, the God of all things, Jehovah. He has bound us to Himself, and He says, I'm going to tell you something. I am going to be your God. And you're going to be my special people. And so, also, this passage then says, blessed is everyone who fears Him. Blessed are the people who fear that Lord. That Lord who enters into relationship with His people, who saves His people, who gives His word to His people. Blessed are those people. Blessed are those who fear Him. All right? And that word blessed, that means happy. And I don't mean that in a light, frivolous way. Truly satisfied, content, and happy are a people who fear the Lord and walk in His way. That's the beginning of the blessedness and this life of happiness that we're supposed to think about. It starts with the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the Bible reminds us. So true happiness, the Bible tells you, will be found in relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You were made to be in relationship with this God who created you. You were created to be in fellowship with Him, and sin broke that bond. Sin divided us from God. God cannot stand to look on sin. And so sin divided us from that fellowship that we were created to have with God. And we are made. This is the way you are made. You are made in such a way that your life can never be truly whole and happy unless you are in relationship to this God. Apart from Him, there's misery. Apart from Him, there is death. Apart from Him, there's sin. Apart from Him, there's darkness, the Bible. So it's all these words to say, you were made for this, and when, as long as you are not in relationship with God through Jesus Christ, through faith in Christ by the Holy Spirit, if you are not in that relationship, you do not know true blessedness and happiness. You can have a momentary happiness of this world that things give us, and I don't discount the fact that it's really a good, nice thing to be able to eat something good that you like or do something enjoyable. But the happiness He's talking about here, you don't have if you are separated from God in Christ. He says, blessed are those who fear the Lord. And here this word fear means reverence. It means you don't take God lightly. It means God is not someone to be trifled with. You understand that this is the God who made you, who called you to worship Him and bow down before Him. A God who saved us, who did not deserve salvation, but nevertheless He entered into a saving work with us through Jesus Christ. He says, now reverence Him. Have awe. Be in awe of all of His mighty works. You know, we sang Psalm 78, that Psalm 1, that hymn number 150 talks about that we are to teach our children all these wonderful works of the Lord. Why? God is to be reverenced. He's to be rejoiced in. Look at what He has done. He led His people out of Egypt. He took us away from slavery. He took us out of bondage of sin and all that. We're to rejoice in it. We're to have an awe of God's works. This is amazing what He has done, you see? And so that's that fear. Fear Him. He's a God to be feared, to be honored, to be worshipped. He says, happy are those who fear that God and who walk in His ways. Now, what are His ways? His ways are His law. You want to know the ways of God? Well, here's His law. He gives it to us. No other gods before Me. No worship of Me through images or anything like that. Take My name seriously, not in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And on it goes. Well, these are God's ways. God's ways are perfect. God's ways are holy. God's ways are righteous. God's ways are true. God's ways are light. They are like honey, the Bible says. They taste good. They produce what is good in your life. God's Word and His ways are what you're to walk in. This is good. The psalmist is saying our ways are to be conformed to the ways of the King, the ways of our God. That's the way our ways are. And you will be happy when you are conformed to those ways. You will not be happy outside of that. You see, the only life of true happiness is found in fearing the Lord and walking in obedience to His Word. We really have to get this straight. This is important and fundamental to all of life. That whatever your circumstances are, whatever the difficulties of your life, whatever the challenges that are around about you, nevertheless, what does this psalmist want you to get? He says, you know, life can change. Life circumstances can be hard on you, and life can be tricky, and there can be many challenges and so on. But he says, never forget what is truly wise, what is truly important. There is no happiness, there is no blessedness apart from knowing God and loving His ways. There just aren't any. And then you won't be looking for all the ways that are offered to you in this world for the happy life. You know, that's the thing. That's the merry-go-round that everybody's on often in this world. We're looking for the happy life, and maybe I'll find it here, or I'll find it here for a while. Nah, I'm done with that one, and I'll move to another way. I'll find it here. No, that's disillusioning. Now read the book of Ecclesiastes sometimes for that. All these things will fail you. There is no happy life in that sense. Under heaven, there is no happy life apart from the fear of the Lord and walking in His ways. That's it. This is it. The life of the world to come is really what this life is all about too. This life, this heavenly life. We're citizens of a heavenly kingdom, the Bible says. And we already began to live something of what that means. Now, we live it imperfectly now. Right, that's true. Even as Christians, we are imperfect in this heavenly life, this walking in God's ways life. We're imperfect in it. But the Spirit of God grants us grace to live in it. He grants us grace to live by faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins and the renewing of our bodies and lives and mind, to live in obedience unto Him and so on. We live this life by the grace and power of God. And He gives us the desire to more and more desire those ways, to wean our hearts from trying to find the good life in the wrong things. So we have to really take this seriously. Brothers and sisters, do you fear the Lord? Is it your desire and your happiness to walk in His ways? Because you won't find it anywhere else. That's clear. So you remember our question. Do you really understand what a truly happy and blessed life is? Well, I can tell you, don't bother trying to find it some other way. That's been tried, and it's been tried, and it's been tried for thousands and thousands of years. But the Bible does say, here is blessedness. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord and walks in His ways. If you want to be blessed, if you want the happiness that you were created to have and know, it is in knowing God and fearing Him and obeying His Word. It's being in Jesus Christ and knowing your sins are forgiven. It's knowing that there is a life to come of eternal joy and glory and bliss. And as the old commercial said, it just doesn't get any better than that. That is the life that is blessed. All right? Now, the second thing we want to move on to is the psalmist says, okay, you also need to know and recognize that this blessedness, that the blessedness, the source of your blessings or the blessings that God is giving out upon you really envelop your life. They're all around you. Do you have eyes? Really what he's asking you to see. Do you have eyes to see how really blessed you are as you walk through your daily life? These are pilgrims going up to Jerusalem. And they have some time on their hands. They're sort of on vacation. And on vacation you have time to think. And you say, you know, sometimes we don't stop and think about the real blessings of life. And you say, well, I want to push you to that. Gain a heart of wisdom. Look around you. Do you see God's blessing for what it is? He says, well, I'll show you what that's like. He says, look at your labor. Think about your labor. And he says in verse 2, when you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy and it shall be well with you. He's saying it is to God that you look for your daily bread. It's what Jesus taught us to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. God is the providential ruler over all the world. And He gives you your daily bread. He watches over you. And so when you pray, God, give me bread to the labor of my hands. And then you get to go home that night and eat. God has blessed you with these things. God has seen to it in His providential appointment that He will feed you through the labor of your hands. He doesn't promise you wealth. He doesn't promise you only good times. But in the course of your regular labor, He will give you your food to eat and what is necessary for life and godliness. And those are the blessings of God. The simple blessings of life. He's saying, do you recognize these simple blessings of life? This is your God who gives these. The God you fear? No, He's giving you this. And if you receive this food with thanksgiving, and if you eat it with contentment, saying, I don't like this junk. No, this God gave me. This is what God gave me by His mercy. And you rejoice in that. Well, life will be well with you. When you recognize the sovereignty of God in life in which He's giving you your daily bread, and this is the bread He apportioned for you, and it's what He wants to feed you with, you say, well, that's great. That's the heart of wisdom that Solomon is calling us to embrace. That's wisdom. That is fearing the Lord. So, you know, many people, what do? We fight and we struggle over finances. The income and the outgo. And so what happens often? We spend beyond what the labor of our hands have brought into our lives. Why? Because we lack a basic contentment with God's providential provisions. I wasn't happy with what God gave me to live on. I had to have more than that. And what do we end up? We get buried. And we get into all kinds of trouble and struggles and so on. No, he says, listen, he says, you got to be able to see what God is doing in your life and acknowledge it. Work diligently for your daily bread, but be content with the fruit of your labor. And eat it gladly because this is what comes from God to you. Do you understand the source of your blessings? God has brought you your daily bread. Now be happy with it. Be content with it. That's the fear of the Lord. That is walking in God's ways. When you recognize and fear the Lord, that the Lord has given you these blessings on your labor. But then he goes on and he says, I want you to see and enjoy and recognize other simple gifts. The gifts that I give to you in your home. And so he says, look at verse 3. He says, your wife shall be like a fruitful vine. Do you recognize this basic, simple blessing God has given you if you're married? He says, look around you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine when you live and with her and think about her and God's gifts behind that. Then you will begin to see your wife as like a fruitful vine. Well, what does that mean? I mean, you know, you got to call your, you know, you think of your wife as some grapevine. That's not the point. He's saying, vines in this world of Solomon is a source of wine. It is a source of joy to the home of the Israelite. Wine makes glad the heart of a man, the psalmist says. It's an allusion then to the source of joy. This is a metaphor. This is poetry, folks. This is a metaphor. And so the Bible, when the Bible speaks of this fruitful vine allusion, it's talking about the enjoyment of things that are full of blessing in your life. And so he's saying, meditate on what God has given you in your relationship with your husband or wife. He's given you the enjoyment of sexuality in marriage. Only in marriage. But in marriage, he's given it to you. Solomon knows a lot about it. Read the Song of Solomon as he meditates on the vine, huh? Solomon's saying, that's what he has in mind here. That's part of what he has in mind. He's saying, it's a source or an allusion to the blessing on reproduction. In other words, children can be a part of that. There's many ways, many things you could think about. This is an allusion to great fruitfulness, great blessing on a harvest, and he's simply saying, do you look at your wife and your partner, your husband as this source of blessing and resource in which you can find enjoyment and contentment in this world and life? Do you see that? This is God's intent for you. These are God's blessings in your life. So husbands, love and cherish your wife, Solomon's saying. And she will be like a fruitful vine to you in your home. She will be a source of great blessing and joy and fulfillment to you. Wives, love and receive your husband's love. And you will taste something of the communion and the intimacy that is something that you will enjoy with God forever. Grasp this, he says. Grasp this. Some of the richest blessings of God come to us in these simple things of life, these relationships of every day. And he's saying to you, the wise man, the wise woman will see this, and you will praise and thank God for this great blessedness in your world. He talks about the joy of home and the dining table. He says, in the very heart of your house, your children will be like olive plants all around your table. There's this table, and it's used, and the family gathers together and has a meal around it. And you eat together, and you enjoy the interaction of a family table. Now, I recognize some of our family table dining experiences aren't all that happy. And, you know, you got one kid pouring his bowl of cereal on top of his head, and you got another one knocking over the milk. And I realize, we all have lived there. But this is the ideal. He's saying, listen, do you understand the blessedness that God gives? When you get to sit down around your table with your family and you get to enjoy your children, you live in a hard world, you live in a pressured world, but here's something, here's an enjoyment. You sit down and you get to enjoy your family. These are the blessings of God that come from a God who loves you and is pouring out His blessings on you. Do you recognize them? Do you enjoy them? You know, children can be a great blessing to your life. They're a gift to the Lord, Psalm 127 says. What a blessing when God gives them. And when they join together with you and walking in God's ways with you throughout the generations and live into God's glory, what a blessing, what a joy, what a life a child brings to your home. You kids, you know that too. You bring great liveliness to our homes. And you make us, you know, we begin to see that the joy of that, that's great. And Psalm's saying, listen, do you recognize these blessings as the hand of the Lord who is blessing you? Worship Him for these things. The olive tree. These children are like little olive tree plants around your table. You know, that's an interesting allusion, that olive tree plant, or that olive shoot. You know, olive trees in those days took many, many years to grow up into maturity. A long time. It took a long time for them to become profitable and produce good crops. But when you patiently cultivated these olive trees, when you nurtured them, they became extremely valuable in the crops they produced. And you know that they would produce a crop for 100, sometimes 200 to 300 years. So think of the value of an olive tree growing to maturity and starting producing crops for 100, 200, 300 years. Now that is the allusion, he says, to your children, to the blessedness that can come to life, that can come to the church, that can come to society through children who fear the Lord and walk in His ways. For generations, the God of who goes with us through the generations, he's going to bless your children. But he says, in the business of life, you know, don't forget that. It takes time and effort and work to raise your children, to teach them to walk in the fear of the Lord, to teach them the Word of God. But don't forget the blessedness that comes, the crop produced, the pour out from generation to generation because you took seriously the calling of God to raise your children in the fear of the Lord. Don't forget that. These are blessings that God would cause to flow. And he says, what a blessing, in fact, when you see your children's children. When you see God's blessings extend through those generations, how many people today live together long enough to see their children's children? Is that blessed are you when you do that? How happy, how enriched by the gifts that God has given us in our homes every day. Do you have eyes to see this? Do you understand where the real blessedness is in this world? Do you worship and honor God for this? And then finally, one more thing we need to point out about this psalm. It says, may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Now this is really important because it's taking the whole source of the blessedness that we have and enjoy, and it's saying, you need to understand the source of all this. You need to understand how this all works. See, Jerusalem was the city. It was the city where God's people lived together. And they lived together in communion, and they lived together, and they worshiped God, and so on. So, in the New Testament context, Jerusalem is the church. Jerusalem's the church, and that's the reference here. The kingdom of God is here in Jerusalem. It is here where God's people dwell. God dwells among you by His Holy Spirit. And brothers and sisters, you have to be careful about this. Never lose sight of the fact that your home, your life, is part of a larger family. The family of God is church. And there is a close and necessary connection between your homes and your marriages and the church of Jesus Christ. See, the grace of God needed to live, the grace of God needed on your labor, the grace of God needing to just do your work daily in walking in God's ways, the grace of God you need in living in relationships in your home and with your wife and your husband and your children and the raising of them, the grace of God needed cannot be found apart from the ministry of the gospel. Cannot be found apart from the preaching of God's word that He proclaims. Your home thrives in the context of the ministry of Christ in the context of a vital and faithful church. That's where your life thrives. That's where your faith thrives. That's where your hope thrives. That's where the grace of God to obey Him thrives. See, so the church thrives in the context of healthy families, and healthy families thrive in the context of a healthy church. Because the gospel is brought to us, and our lives are blessed, and we who live within that church as a faithful and godly people worship God and honor God and help each other and love each other, and that's a thriving communion. And that's the picture he's giving here. You know, life around you is difficult and hard, yes, but you need to see the good of Jerusalem, and the good of Jerusalem is when God blesses you out of Zion into Jerusalem. When you, God's people in Zion, receive the blessings of Zion, now that's happiness. That's when your life will be blessed. How we need the blessings on Jerusalem, the good of Jerusalem, how we need that. How we desire to see an effective ministry of the gospel that fills our hearts and fills our lives and raises up to love and joy and peace and patience and gentleness and kindness and self-control against which there is no law. In other words, there's no limit to showing love and joy and peace and patience and obedience to God. God doesn't limit those things. He would limit your sin. He would limit your unfaithfulness, but He would not limit the fruit of the Spirit that would abound. And it's, how is that fed? It's poured out through the Spirit of God, through the preaching of God's Word, through the partaking of the sacraments. That's how it's poured out. And so he says, may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. That is the context in which your faith and your life will thrive. And so he says, peace be upon Israel. Peace. May wholeness and wellness be upon Israel. May the full wellness and peace of God be upon you. So the psalm ends with this wonderful picture. It's a picture of what happened in the temple when people went up to Jerusalem. They went up, and the temple was on Mount Zion. You'd go up to Jerusalem, and there's the temple on Mount Zion, and as the worshipers gathered into the presence of God at the temple, the high priest then would raise his hands at the end of the service, and he would say, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you," and so on. Right? He gives that benediction, right? May He give you His peace. So you see the picture. The worshipers draw near to God. He's in His heavenly throne. He's in the heavenly Jerusalem. He's in His heavenly temple. But when we come to worship Him, we are, in a sense, gathered around that great throne. And in this climactic moment of the service, God proclaims that He has blessed us. He has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That's what you have. That's what you receive from the heavenly Jerusalem coming down on you. See, from heaven, like a waterfall cascading down on His people, God blesses us by His Word and by His Spirit. He blesses us. And that's what Solomon wants to leave you with. Here is where blessedness flows from. Here is how God will fill you with grace and peace. A peace Christ won for you by His death on the cross. And he says, here's where it all comes from. So, do you remember our question? Do you really understand what a truly happy and blessed life is? Do you understand that? Well, here it is. Here it is. The psalmist would have you understand. Have you confessed your sins? Well, then God proclaims to you, your sins are forgiven. Do you draw near to Jesus Christ in faith and trust in Him for your salvation? Then God proclaims to you, then you are reconciled to God. You are living with God in His peace. And He says, I want you to know that. You have peace with Me. And then God says, now go in peace to the worshipers. Go in peace. I pour out on you My blessings. Go and fear the Lord. Go and walk in His way. This is the happy, blessed life that I have granted you by My grace. Go and live under it. This is the good of Jerusalem. That's the good of Jerusalem you and I need to know and live in. But soon enough, it will get even better than that. Because now we just live on this world. We live in a sinful world, and we live in struggles, and even though the blessings of God are great and we rejoice in them, He says there's going to be yet the best is yet to come. He says soon enough God is going to bring all of His people to the ultimate good of Jerusalem. And here is the ultimate good, the ultimate blessedness, the ultimate happiness that you will have. I, John, saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There will be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. That is your ultimate happiness. May God bless you with this peace. Amen.